Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. What is up, rock stars? It's Matt Johnson. We are back with a solo episode of the UX Podcast, and we are talking about ROI, delicious, delightful return on investment, as it applies to podcasting. So what does it really take to build a sustainable, profitable podcast? Because right now, you may not have heard this stat, there are approximately 500,000 podcasts on iTunes. Most of them, about half of them are 6 months old or less, according to, I believe that was Rob Welch of Libsyn who said that. And so we can kind of extrapolate that, a conclusion that podcasting is a category that is still exploding. Right. We can also draw, we know from experience and from looking at the numbers, that most of those new podcasts won't last. So if they get past 5 episodes, I'd be surprised. Most of them will run for 6 months or a year. If they get past that, you know, those initial few episodes, if they go beyond that, they might go for 6 months or a year and then usually shut down. So for those of us who are serious, we're playing the long game. You know, how do we build something when we know, you know, even from Gary Vaynerchuk's experience with Wine Library TV, that the power of a marketing platform like this, where you're putting out content consistently, predictably, you're building trust over time with an audience, and you're doing all those things right, even when you do it right, it takes 12 to 18 months to really start to feel that momentum underneath you and start to see the results. I can definitely say from experience that started to happen with my original podcast, Real Estate Uncensored. 12 to 18 months in was about when we started to really feel that sense of momentum and people started paying attention going, hey, what are you guys doing? We're seeing you guys everywhere. Your content's and it's here and here. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. It's on Inman News. Like it's in the industry publications. You guys are getting mentioned in blog posts and stuff like that. All that started to happen around 12 to 18 months in. So if you're serious about hanging in there long enough to build a sustainable, profitable podcast, as well as the business behind it, I want to give you 5 key things that I see working for myself and my friends and my clients and all the people that are kind of in this world. So this is all built through just the hard work of serving clients, running my own shows, seeing the consequences of weakness in any of these areas. And let me be clear that you don't necessarily have to have all these ingredients or strengths built up when you first launch a show, but the goal is to have all 5 built as quickly as possible. So let me give you 1. We must identify and then communicate a clear and compelling idea that makes us dramatically different in our market. When our idea is anything less than clear and compelling, it makes everything tougher, slower, more time consuming, whether that's growing a podcast audience to effective and profitable sales funnels and even our Facebook or Instagram ads. That clear and compelling idea is the first and the most important thing to get that identified and communicated as quickly as possible, because if we don't have it, it makes everything else so much tougher. So here's a quick test for your clear and compelling idea. And for more detail on that, I've got a whole other episode on that. Just look for the episode on your clear and compelling idea. But I want to give you just a quick kind of a litmus test for whether you've identified that clear and compelling idea behind your show. So if you're in conversation with someone that you're about to feature them on the podcast, and let's say they're an ideal client or they're an ideal referral partner, or they're another influencer who's in your space, and they ask what you do and they ask kind of, you know, tell me a little bit about the podcast, and you tell them kind of what the idea behind the podcast is, this is what their response should be. Like, wow, okay, we need to have another conversation because I know people who, you know, they need to talk to you, or I might even need to hire you myself. I see this happen with myself. I see it happen with clients who have a clear and compelling idea behind what they do that ties directly into their podcast. And this is the response they get. In fact, one of my clients says that half of all the people he's bringing onto his podcast are turning into legitimate high-level sales opportunities. So if their response is anything less than that, then we haven't hit on our clear and compelling idea yet. So that's a quick litmus test. So let's move on to number two. We must build powerful, compelling intellectual property around our idea, including what Dan Sullivan calls a unique process for producing results for our clients. The bottom line is that if we don't deliver the results we're selling or promising our clients on when they sign up, then our business behind the podcast is inherently unstable, and the business itself may not last long enough to see the payoff from a powerful long-term marketing platform like a podcast. So, and then of course, on the podcast, one of the things that I recommend people do if they're in the coaching, consulting, or agency worlds is make sure that you bring on your own clients to share their success and talk to them about what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, where they've seen success, where they haven't, and kind of drive home the points of the system that you recommend to them that's got them the results that you promised, right? So make sure that that's being mixed in. That's what we recommend as part of the formula for all of our clients is around one case study or success story interview type recording per month, because it's very, very important to have that in, but it has to be wrapped up not just in a success story that are all over the place where everyone's saying something different about you. What you really want is you want powerful, compelling intellectual property and a unique process for getting them results. And so what every client and every client that does like a success story with you, what they're talking about is not just how awesome you are. They're talking about your unique process and how they followed that process. And then we need to go a step further and we need our intellectual property to be positioned and communicated in such a way that makes the marketing and selling process easier. Without that, it makes it even more difficult to tie back specific results to the podcast, right? So if once we have that intellectual property that is powerful and compelling, that needs to be communicated and it needs to be positioned through our podcast so that it's very clear what we stand for and what we teach and what our unique process is. Otherwise, we're going to have a hard time drawing a really straight line between the podcast and sales, right? And that's what we really want to do. So let's move on to number three. We must build a clear vision of a 10x ROI on our podcast. And to me, that almost always means that we must be selling a high ticket package through a crystal clear call to action. That more than anything else to me is the best way to make sure that there is a predictable straight line from podcast to sales. Right. So, for example, one of my clients is in the executive recruiting space. We don't do a lot in that particular space. He came in through a personal referral from a really good friend of mine. And so we stepped out a little bit out of our normal space that we operate in into that area of executive recruiting. And one deal for him essentially pays for the podcast for a year. So two deals is profit, you know, at least, you know, 2 to 3x profit. And then if he does a handful of deals through the year that are directly or indirectly come from the podcast, through the influence that he's gained by hosting a show in the space and interviewing and networking with all the key players in the space, that's a 10x ROI on the podcast. To me, that's what I have in mind is, do you have something clear and direct that you sell that has a high ticket price on it that is directly promoted through a crystal clear call to action on the podcast? And if not, it's going to be harder to draw a straight line from your podcast right to sales. So what do you do if you don't have something high ticket or it's in development, let's say, and you've got lower priced products for now? It's not a big problem. It's not a permanent problem necessarily, but I do have a very, you know, very strong feelings on that. If you don't sell something high ticket, I believe you must have an idea that's so clear and compelling to a large potential audience that it has the potential to spread by earned media. So in this day and age, earned media isn't just traditional PR, although that's a big part of it. Earned media can also be new media PR like podcast interviews or blog features and things like that. So this world of kind of horse trading podcast interviews on each other's shows or featuring people on their, you know, featuring you on their blogs, that's kind of the niche equivalent of what used to be just traditional PR, which is radio and TV and print. So if we don't have a clear and compelling idea that has the potential to be spread that way, then that's where we get into a problem, because the podcast can't do all of the pushing when you have to reach a very large audience just to make the numbers work. So one of my best examples in this space is Jay Campbell. He's the host of TOT Revolution. He's got several books. He's a best-selling author. His Amazon reviews are insane. His strategy for that is incredible. But anyway, he's the leading expert on testosterone optimization, which right now is super niche. But over the next 5 to 10 years, we're both in agreement that's probably going to go mainstream. It really needs to hit a tipping point. So he is positioned to hit the mainstream in a very big way. And the podcast is part of what's helped him position himself for that jump and make sure sure that he's got a very solid audience who are behind him and support him 100%, because he's going to take some fire. When he gets out into the mainstream, he has a very controversial point of view, and he needs a very strong, active, engaged power base to make that offensive into the mainstream. So right now, he's getting invites to be on webinars and podcasts and even mainstream local television because he has something super unique and compelling to share, which has the potential to reach a mainstream audience. So another example is just my own show, the very first podcast that I built, Real Estate Uncensored, which ended up being named one of the top five podcasts in that space. Even there, like, my biggest wins in podcasting haven't come from building huge audiences. They've come from building extremely well-positioned podcasts in lucrative niches where you can differentiate a podcast on how deep and advanced your content is. And then you sell high-ticket services to the cream of the crop of the industry. These are the people who have the cash and they value expertise and systems that they can install in their business. So the closer that you can get to that, the more easily you'll build a profitable, sustainable podcast with a high ROI. So I believe we're on number four, which is tracking. So we must put great tracking in place, or in the absence of great tracking, we have to make tracking very simple by just making the podcast our primary marketing platform. If a podcast is the redheaded stepchild of your marketing efforts, if it's just another channel for people to consume the same content you've been putting out all over the place in other areas, it's really not going to have a chance to build a lot of momentum. If you have several other marketing methods and you don't have great tracking in place, then even if the podcast is working, you won't know it because you'll attribute everything to everything, right? And you won't really understand which of your marketing pieces are really producing the results. So if you don't have great tracking in place, it's going to be hard to really even know what your ROI is on the podcast, let alone peg it down to a specific multiple like a 10X. So ideally, in my world, for anyone who is a business coach, consultant, or an expert, an agency owner, that sort of thing, I believe right now podcasting is the best tip of the spear into our market, so to speak. So, and a quick word on lead tracking or lead source tracking. One of the easiest ways to do that, especially in a smaller company, and you can do this whether you take your own sales calls or not, is whoever's taking that sales call, one of the first questions you want to ask is, hey, can you tell me the story of how you came across us and what caused you to reach out and jump on this call with us? And I picked that up from a mentor of mine, the last agency that I came out of, that's been part of their process for a long time, because you don't want to just say, hey, who can we attribute this to? Or, hey, how'd you find out about us? That could be anything. Like, hey, I stumbled across you on YouTube, or somebody mentioned you in a Facebook group. Great. What you want to know is the story, and you really are looking for, out of the things that they've said, what do they attribute the most influence to? And a lot of times what you'll find, and what I find with clients especially, but also with other friends who have podcasts, is that they'll find out about you through a lot of different ways, different forms of word of mouth, or they'll stumble across you online, or they'll hear you featured on a podcast. And that's great. And that's how people initially find you. What actually has the most influence on whether they reach out and schedule a call and end up buying from you, a lot of times, is people consuming your podcast in huge chunks, right? So they'll come across you, they will like you, they'll go find you, or they'll go directly find your podcast, they'll consume 5, 10 episodes or whatever, they'll get to know all about you, they'll listen to everything, and then they'll come schedule a call. I also hear this from folks in the real estate space where they actually have the ability to take on an agent and have somebody join their team. I've had clients tell me, like, hey, this guy just literally walked in today and said, hey, I've listened to all your podcast episodes. I know everything about your business model. I'm ready to sign. Like, where's the paperwork for me to sign and join your company? That's the kind of thing that happens when you make a podcast the tip of the spear into the market, is that people can find out about you in a bunch of ways, but what really influences their decision to reach out and end up writing you a check or taking a major step forward into a relationship with you, a lot of times, is your podcast, if you have one. So it's great to know the story of how they came across you and how they ended up reaching out to get on a call with you or write you a check or join your company, because you want that full story so that you can attribute influence where it rightfully belongs. Okay. So finally, we come to the last one, number five, which is a marketing ally. So as experts and influencers, I believe we need a marketing ally in the battle for attention. Now, in my world, I believe this should be not just a thing or a system, but a person, an actual new media manager who pitches his own podcast, pitches us on speaking gigs, helps create sales support content, breaks all of our podcasts or podcast interviews up into smaller chunks for social media, just like Gary Vaynerchuk has his content team. We kind of need a mini version of that. Now, Gary Vaynerchuk has about like 19 people, last I heard. 19 people on his personal brand, like personal brand content team, not for the agency, not for VaynerMedia, just for his personal brand content team. So we don't need that, but we do need one person, whether they're part-time or full-time or not. We need someone documenting our success and sharing it on social media. Without that marketing ally role, we're going to miss a lot of opportunities because we just don't have the time to do things like make sure that we're connected to everyone we talk to on LinkedIn and on social media. Tag people on social media when we have a podcast episode released that involved them. Promote older episodes of our podcast or older content that may get overlooked. Do things like send thank you notes or books or cards to fellow influencers to build relationships or follow up on podcast interviews with the host with a thank you note. Play with emerging social media platforms that are geared to a younger audience. Right now, that all falls on us, and as well as keep our database fresh and updated. Those are all things that can be done by a skilled assistant, an intern, or a team member. Right now in your business, they're probably not getting done because you have no one filling that role of a new media manager. You don't have a marketing ally in the battle for attention. And so to me, that's one of the long-term things that determines whether a podcast is successful or not for you. Is it being maximized and leveraged in the way that it could be to really reach its full potential? And even with our done for you service, there's just certain things we can't do for you. Social media doesn't make everything easy for an outside agency to do for you. It's still important to have somebody in-house, whether they show up to an office or not, but somebody on your team to fill that role and do some of those miscellaneous things that are ever changing and always different about social media and about how you want to build relationships with people. Because a podcast can really be the tip of the spear and it can be leveraged in a bunch of ways, but everybody's different and you're going to want something different and you're going to want to leverage your podcast in a different way from other people, which means you can't just buy that as an agency service. It's something you need to really bring in-house and have that role on your team with someone that reports to you and does what you tell them to do, equipped with systems and knowledge that they are, you know, knowing that they are empowered and equipped to do what you want them to do. So, one of the things that I developed along those lines for myself first, and then I released it to like clients and friends and stuff like that, is we put together a training that helps turn any sort of assistant or intern or team member into a podcast pitch assistant, meaning someone who can consistently get you featured on podcasts day in and day out without really have bothering you at all. Essentially, you just sit back and let them work and watch the interviews show up on your calendar. So if you want something like that, that's super easy to grab a hold of. It's very inexpensive, and it's a great, great training product that I'm super proud of. That's at pursuingresults.com/training. So let me sum up real quick. So if we don't have these five elements in place, the consequences are not going to show up right away, right? Out of the gate, a lot of podcasts are going to look the same, right? Design has gotten better. People have gotten better. Video and good audio is more ubiquitous and easier to obtain, right? So a lot of podcasts coming out of the gate in the first 6 to 12 months are going to look similar. What matters and what separates those that are sustainable and profitable and get a 10x ROI from everyone else is these five elements that we talked about here. And like I said, you don't need to have all of them before you launch. And you don't even necessarily have to have all of them within the first 6 or 12 months. What you want is to be building up to having all five operating, all those ingredients and elements operating in your podcast platform to make sure that it is giving you the absolute best chance so that you have a successful, profitable, sustainable podcast that you enjoy running and enjoy hosting for years, right? You don't want something that just comes and goes because most of the results of podcasting don't come until 12 to 18 months in, and then they build from there, right? So the faster we can build those five elements and the faster we can have them operating in our podcast and in our marketing, the better our chances to have a highly profitable, sustainable podcast. So that is it for today. I know that was a mouthful. Good Lord. I think I went longer than I intended, but I hope you got a ton out of it. Let me know where I'm wrong. If there's anything that you don't agree with, I'd love to hear it. If you have a favorite podcast that you feel like doesn't meet any of those criteria and is still wildly successful and profitable, I want to know what they are because I want to break down their business model. I'm super fascinated by all this stuff. So let me know. Give me some feedback. Shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll see you on the next episode of the UX Podcast. Now, I believe that clarity releases energy. So I hope that this episode creates clarity for you by laying out a path forward in your business. Now, if you're interested in starting a podcast like this to help you break into a new industry or to establish yourself as an authority in a niche market, let's talk. We have a complete done-for-you podcasting service. That is my agency that I'm building and growing, and I'd love to talk to you about what we can potentially do for you. You can learn more at pursuingresults.com to get a sense of what our service is all about. And if you're ready, if you're really seriously thinking about starting a podcast, I'm happy to brainstorm your ideas and talk about the positioning of your podcast within the market, something that you can take away whether we end up working together or not. So you can grab a time on my calendar for a podcast brainstorm call at bookjohnson.com. That is bookjohnson.com. I just want to thank you again for listening to the show, for leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes, and more importantly, for investing your time, your energy, your attention into the show. It really means the world to me that you would do that. So again, this is the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine, and we'll see you on the next episode.